Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Welcome to this Park Hopper episode of E-Ticket to Broadway. Today, I'm chatting with the icon that is Susan Egan, Broadway's original Belle from Beauty and the Beast, as well as the voice of Meg from Hercules. We're catching up about all things Disney, as well as learning more about the Disney Princess, the concert. See you real soon.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Susan, welcome back to E-Ticket to Broadway. You were the very first episode guest back in 2020, and you truly embody the magic that is Disney and Broadway. Thank you for joining me today.
Congratulations with the long run of this beautiful show and all the people you've talked to. And yes, I love that I'm speaking to you from an office that has a window as opposed to my closet where I have a microphone during COVID.
I know, but truly when I think of Broadway and Disney, it is Susan Egan. You paved the way for Disney on Broadway. And of course, as I see over your right-hand shoulder, Meg, she is the moment. She is the icon. I remember what you said too about when you were talking about Meg, you were saying, you know, not only she's not a princess, she's not a villain. She's kind of
The only Disney character still. And I mean, it's been 26 years. She's still the only female character that starts on the bad side and goes to the good side. Am I incorrect, Disney fans? Give me another one.
Like, I know. Starting bad and ending good.
Yeah.
I mean, so many villains, I feel like, but maybe not.
Villains, right? Like who? Yeah, I don't know. So she's so unique in that way.
I mean, listen, I go directly to Grumpy the Dwarf, who is so mad and mean, but he actually has always been good. That's a good question. Okay, so we got into on the episode of E-Ticket, but can you remind us your favorite Disney character and favorite Disney parks attraction?
Oh my gosh, am I going to be consistent? Because I haven't listened to our episode in quite some time, but my favorite character has always been Goofy. I want to say Goofy.
I
don't know what it is. Maybe it's also because he's sort of undefinable in the sense of like, we have that age-old question, if Pluto's a dog, and like, what, you know? But I also just think there's something so beautiful about his soul. He's not stupid. He's goofy, but he's smart, and he's got a sense of humor about himself, and isn't afraid to be the fool to make people happy. Like, his intention is always to make people happy. You never see him mean, you know? Like, even Mickey gets mad at things sometimes, you know? And Goofy still never does.
Well, it's what you said, his intention is always great.
It's always great.
I love that. That's beautiful. I want Goofy to become a Disney princess, like hang out with them. And
Goofy would totally do it. And that's the thing. Goofy would put on the dress and have the wand and like with no apology. There's just something so beautiful. Honestly, Goofy is such a good actor. And he totally commits in the same way that like Will Ferrell commits in Elf. That's the most impressive thing about Will Ferrell, and what makes him so brilliant in comedy is that he's never wink, wink. Like, he's never in on the joke. He is fully all in. You know, when he shouts an Elf, like, congratulations, because it's the world's best cup of coffee. You know, we just won every cup in New York. Good job. And I feel like Goofy is all in. And we so aren't as humans, do you know? We dip our toe in, we see what people are gonna think, we see how it's gonna feel, we see what we get out of it. And that's never him. And so he would be a great princess. He would
put on that
dress. He would be unapologetic and,
that's a great answer.
And embrace it and also be a hero. You know?
I just love that, like, thank God for this podcast that we just got to hear you talk about how wonderful Goofy is as a character. Like, where else can you get that content? And now you grew up in California. You were, you know, right in Disneyland's backyard. Do you have a favorite attraction?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I'm so old, but I remember when Space Mountain opened, that was like the be all end all. This is the 70s. And, you know, I was the youngest of three, and, so when we went to the park, it was still when there were e-tickets and ABCD e-tickets, right? And so we'd always go on the e-rides because I had an older brother and sister. So the weird thing about me is that it wasn't until I was in high school when I went with some friends of mine that I actually got to use the A tickets. And like my whole childhood, I never was on the Peter Pan ride. I was never on, you know, we did do Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, but we never did Dumbo. We never did... because that was, you know, my siblings were too cool for school and we always did the exciting rides. But so when I was there with my family, Space Mountain was amazing, right? But then in high school, I got to go on those rides and, you know, like Peter Pan and flying over London. It was so magical.
I know. And of course, I mean, Snow White's Enchanted Wish, which is correct. The object love. It's got everything good. Those are great options. And Space Mountain is one of the few rides that opened in Florida first. And then came to California.
Did it though? Maybe it did. I will say what's interesting about it is that they're different in both parks. Is it in Orlando, you sit side by side, but in Anaheim, the other way around.
Yeah.
In Florida, you sit front to back and then
like the Matterhorn.
The old Matterhorn.
Yeah. And like, I went on the one in Florida recently and it was like, terrifying. It's bumpy and Disneyland it updated in 2005.
Yeah. So here's my question: was it always that way, and we just thought that's what roller coasters were? Because now I have no tolerance for it. I can't do the bumpy, jerky rides. I have because now the technology is there for these. It's like Tron. My gosh!
Have you been on Cosmic Rewind?
Which one is that?
It's like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
That one is so smooth.
You go to the parks a lot. And sometimes this is so entitled. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This is awful. And I feel guilty when I do it, but not so guilty that I don't do it. I'm backdoored into a lot of these rides. And so sometimes I don't even know what they're called.
I hear you. I will join that on Cosmic Rewind. I was backdoored the first time. And it was, I felt so terrible, but so blessed.
Now, I have something really exciting to say to you, and maybe you've already been there, but I have never been to any of the parks overseas. I've never been to Disneyland Paris. I've never been to Tokyo or anything, but I am about to, so I'm going to launch the first week of the US tour for Princess. And then I actually go to Korea for a week. And then I go to Tokyo for a week. And after we close in Tokyo, they're taking us to the park, but we only have one day and you can't do both parks. And so we're actually going to do C.
Yeah, I would suggest.
Is that the right choice?
It is. Tokyo DisneySea is so cool and so unique. Of course, the Magic Kingdom is awesome, but Tokyo DisneySea is so unique. I think you're really going to love it.
I feel bad that I'm not seeing Magic Kingdom because, you know, it's the OG. But
Come on,
but I also feel like, how different is it from Anaheim and Orlando?
The culture is different and it's really cool. The merchandise, I mean, it's amazing. I'm so excited. But you have to go to Paris because, like, of course, Beauty and the Beast is a French influenced. You got to go.
I did get to open the Beauty and the Beast in Orlando, which is now a while ago. But like when they did the Be Our Guest restaurant, I got to go and do that and film some stuff there, which was really
cool. I remember that. We love it all. Halfway through the episode, make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at eTicket to Broadway for games, photos, memes, a way to fill your day with sunshine. But Susan, on your episode, you actually teased that you were working on a Disney concert, which of course now we can talk about the Disney Princess concert, which is now returning March 5th, 2024.
20 years ago.
Well, yes! 39 cities coming up. How did the tour get started?
So Benjamin Rahala was on a Disney cruise. He was flying home with Jeremy Jordan and they had gone to one of those princess tea party events on the cruise. As of course, they're not the demographic, but they show up. And they're sitting there having their tea and they see Cinderella and they see Belle and they see Jasmine. And they're like, I know her on Broadway. I know her on Broadway. So Ben was a program developer at 54 Below and always had to come up with these concepts. And he had some great ones of like a night of, you know, Celine Dion's music or Selena Gomez, or, you know, he's got the Demi Lovato. He's got all these, you know, Britney Spears night. And then he thought, what if we did a Disney princess night, just a princess night? And I just invite all my princess friends on a Monday night when their shows are dark and we just get together, we sing the canon of music and it's just going to be a really fun one-off. So of course he gets the best of the best. He's got Laura Austin, he's got Courtney Reed, he's got, you know, Christy Altomare, he's got all these people. And they do this one-off and it sells out in 2 seconds. So then they do it again, it sells out in 2 seconds. Then he's got these YouTube videos. Ultimately, over, you know, 3 years of doing 5 shows a year at 54 Below, they've got 18 million views on YouTube. Like, it's just, it's speaking to something even more than he had thought it would. And two things happened. First of all of those beautiful millennials who grew up with those VHS tapes are now adults of drinking age and can buy a ticket to 54 Below. So they're coming and they're reliving as Disney does so beautifully. It's that nostalgia. It's that touchstone to your childhood. But in particular with this music, especially with, like, you know, the you know, renaissance, right, in the 90s of Disney animation. So they get asked to do a show at Segerstrom in Orange County. I was living in Orange County at the time. They can't fly 15 girls from New York. So Laura's going to go, Courtney's going to go. And Ben's like, Susan lives in Huntington Beach. I bet she'll be free with no plane ticket and no, you know, hotel cost. I wonder if she'd do it. I'm like, of course I'll do it. That'll be so much fun. And Adam Levy came in for the very first time to sing the duets as the prince. And it was the five of us. And just something just happened, right? It just, like, we didn't know each other very well. I had known Adam since he was 13, but he had just met Courtney and Laura. Ben knew him from a reading that they did. Laura and Ben obviously knew each other. Laura and Courtney knew each other. Courtney kind of knew Laura, but like we all, and then that was kind of cool because it was like OG Cinderella, OG Jasmine, OG Belle. And we just had a lot of fun. So my husband's a producer and he was looking at it going, you know, I think there's more there than you guys are doing. And so we talked about it for a while. And then I went to Ben and Laura because it was their brainchild. I said, I think there's something to develop here. I think that this would translate because you guys know the world of Broadway, but maybe what you don't know as much is the world of animation. But because I span both, I end up having to go to Comic-Cons because it's in my contract. And it's not my favorite thing to do because I feel so awkward signing anything that I would totally sign for free at a stage door. Like, I'm like, really? You shouldn't pay any money for this. But but I see these people in these magnificent bell dresses that they have made themselves. And the energy at a Comic-Con is like two bells meet in the middle of this arena And they're not like, my bell's better than your bell. They're like, oh my God, where did you get those shoes? Or, oh my gosh, I love your backpack or what? Like, it's a love fest. It is the most supportive, crazy atmosphere ever. And they spend so long making these costumes, and we should give them another place to wear them. I think those people would come see the show even if they don't even know what Broadway is. And so let's develop this to have a little bit of a wider reach. So we did. So the five of us did this for like 2 years at little PACs and little clubs around the country. And then we're all like, well, that was fun, but we all do a lot better in our solo careers. So let's just be done. But Laura and I had both been doing a lot of symphony concerts and individually had been approached by different symphonies saying, hey, this princess thing you do, do you have the rights to do it as a concert? And so Laura sort of came to me and she's like, do we have the rights to do this as a concert? And when we play clubs and theaters, they pay an ASCAP BMI license. Yeah. And so we can sing anything on the stage because we're just with Ben at the piano. But the moment we have an orchestration, we need to rent the chart and pay the licensing through Disney. Well, now I do that all the time. You know, I call up Roy at Disney. I'm like, hey, I need to sing I Won't Say for the 20,000th time. So can you rent the chart? Can you send it to Chicago? He's like, yeah, no problem. So I go, they're going to say no, you guys. So when they say no, it means we're done with this because now they'll know we exist and it's right. And we're ready to be done. It's okay. It's been a really good run. We love each other. Let's like have drinks and call Disney. So I call Disney and I say, hey, Roy, I need more than two charts. He's like, no problem. What do you need? I go, I need 26 charts. He's like, above my pay grade. So it escalates up to the president of Disney Music, who is about to retire, actually, but has her replacement in the meeting, who I now work with on the daily. And I sent them some YouTube videos. I sent them like our following. I explained what we do. And we've got this fairy god fairy at the center of it all. And he tells his story and we all sing princess songs and kumbaya. And they loved it. And they watched the videos and it wasn't a cease and desist. It was, hey, we think you should ask for more than the charts. I'm like, do you think I should be asking for the animation? They're like, we do. I go, do you think I should be asking for your marketing department? I'm like, we do. And so what was happening simultaneously, and it was kismet, is that they were 18 months away from launching a new worldwide campaign across every aspect of Disney, every division. They were rebranding the Princess brand, which after Star Wars and Marvel is their highest grossing brand. So that's the sausage, right? This is the business behind the mouse.
Yeah.
And they understood suddenly that it was not this big pink bubble letter brand.
Right.
That children are naturally going to come. The new generation is constantly being indoctrinated into Princess Land. But their moms are the ones who watch the VHS tapes. That like those millennials are 35 now and there's no product for them. And they rebranded the whole thing with this new font and black and gold and like this modern tiara look. And they didn't have a live component. And they said, would you be our concert? And so we were the very first partnership ever, took a moment with some attorneys to negotiate. But my husband and I negotiated with Disney. We got a great partnership deal. I absolutely love all of my like now siblings in this family at Disney. I was on four meetings with them today. I love them all. And we're now, you know, almost 4 years into this partnership. Yeah. And it's expanded beyond that. So I produced Disney Princess with them, but along with my partner, Adam Levy, I produced a show at the Hollywood Bowl last year that now is going to open the Taipei Dome this year. We did, we're writing a show for the cruise line for the Disney Vacation Club. We're writing a new show for the Hollywood Bowl this year. So now I've got four entities with the company now as a producer.
It's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
Everything you're saying is like, mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, and you know what it really was? It was like, we were Cinderella and we made a really, really pretty pink dress. We did. And then this fairy godmother came called Disney and waved their magic wand and turned it into that dress, right? Like it was always beautiful. And they allowed us to keep the fairy godfather and they allowed us to have like so much creative control. It's just been really, really wonderful. And we played 18 countries on five continents.
Well, that's the thing. And even this one, this is, you said it's the fourth year of it.
Yes. Oh, well, okay. So that's the other, like, there's always another shoe that falls, right? So we signed our contract on March 4th, Ben's birthday, 2020, that our tour was going to start in June of 2020. Go. As Courtney would say, go.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, obviously. We thought, oh, we'll take 6 weeks off and record an album. That didn't happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everything got pushed. But what it did allow is the last time I spoke to you, we had a year to build a show. And so we got to make choices that we would not have had the luxury of making.
Right.
And that includes, we rewrote every chart. We have brand new arrangements. We went into a recording studio in Nashville during COVID and we recorded sections one at a time, everybody spaced. And we recorded brand new tracks with a full orchestra. Like, we never would have gotten to do that.
Right. And what are some of the songs that, you know, people going expect to hear?
Oh, everything. So we are contractually obligated to represent all 13 now, because Raya's been she's coronated. All 13 Disney princesses, plus the two Frozen Queens, which are their own franchise. So we do everybody's in there, and our new tour we're really excited about because we've had a chance to really look at it and do a refresh. We've got all the things that you have to do, right? We're not going to deny you a Let It Go in four part harmony, but we found what people really loved were us reinventing songs they knew with those Ben harmony arrangements.
Yeah.
So we've added more of those. So for instance, we used to do a classic princess medley that was, you know, 2.5 minutes that has a little Cinderella, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty. Well, now we've got a 5-minute version that has so many songs with all three women in the show and more animation. And it's just like sort of, oh, this is what it really meant to be. Like, that was a nice appetizer, but this is lush. This is beautiful. We've got a new arrangement of Riverbed, and we've got Asha in there. I don't want to, spoiler alert, she's not a princess, but she's very important to princesses, her mm-hmm. character.
Yes, she is.
So we've got This Wish in there, which is a lot of fun because so much of our show is about women who've played these roles on Broadway, right? So I got to play Belle, and I get to tell stories about being Belle on Broadway. And, you know, Hiba El-Sheik is going to be in this tour, and she's a West End star. She played Jasmine, so she gets to tell stories about being the very first Middle Eastern woman to play the character of Jasmine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And Cindy Winters is in the show again, and she was Nala, so she tells that story. And she just went back into the tour of Nala after several years away, and like her new perspective of it. Like, these are great stories. Well, Ben got to work with Ari on Wish and was in the studio coaching her and vocalizing with her during the recordings of these songs. And so the fact that we get to sing This Wish in new harmonies that Ben just wrote, and for him to get to tell his story about his Disney dream coming true about working on an animated feature, it's amazing. And the whole idea, of course, is that we're just regular people, you know. It's just Susan and Hiba and Cindy and Ben, and you know, we're just the kids who played with the dolls when we were little, and we dreamed things, and it can happen.
It's perfect. And what I hear is, like, people are encouraged to show up in costume, which is great.
Oh, for sure. And they do. And the dads show up dressed as Elsa with a sign around his neck saying, "Let it bro." Like, everybody's into it. We've got the sorority girls, each of them as a different princess. We've got, of course, the families. You know, it's funny. I did press this morning and they're like, "And I bet those kids are singing loud." I go, "They are. But you know who's singing louder? The moms. The moms.
Yeah.
They're not done being Ariel. They're not done.
You've conquered the Disney princess concert experience. What would be the next genre? Would you want to do like Disney villains or Disney sidekicks or Disney animals?
You're asking a 54-year-old woman. Now, I did in the last version get to sing Mother Gothel. It was my favorite moment in the show. And that has now grown into a whole villains medley.
Perfect.
For one of the women in the show and one of the men in the show. So we get to fully explore Ursula and Mother Gothel and Scar and, you know, like, you know, Jafar, like as we should, because who would these princesses be if they didn't have their enemies? So we love that. We expanded our prince character role because he should get to sing more than three duets in the show. So now we also get to have Hercules and Aladdin and Kristoff and Quasi is in there, Quasimodo. So, you know, we're just sort of getting to expand the world a little bit more, which is really exciting. For me as a producer, what would I like to do? I think, you know, part of Princess was this, you know, I was obligated to be on the stage as well as produce it, which is great, but I always wanted to create jobs for other people. It was something that, and it's fitting, Jodi Benson gave to me. You know, when I left Broadway and I wanted to start a family, she's the one who took my hand and introduced me to an agent who would book me in symphony concerts, because you can sing symphony concerts when you're pregnant. And it's really hard to be Millie Dilmount when you're pregnant. So, or Sally Bowles, you know? So she gave me that gift. She took me, a woman in my 30s, and gave me a whole nother career that would support me getting to fulfill another dream of marriage and motherhood. And I mean, it makes me weep because I can't overspeak my love for Jodi. She's in my life daily still. I love her. She's been such a sister and a champion. And she shows up on our stages every once in a while as a special guest. And it's exciting for me to get to pass that torch. You know, Christy Altomare just had a baby this year. And 2 months after that baby was born, I go, bring him along, bring your breast pump, and let's just do a show. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I don't fit my dress. I go, I've got a clavicle dresses, baby, come on. And yeah, and as people get, we want to be the show that is constantly rotating so that the audience is getting Alyssa Fox, who just spent the last 14 years in Wicked as Elphaba, but she was also Elsa on Broadway. You know, she was a standby for Casey. And so she went on a lot. And so now she gets to come, and we just had her fitting like 2 weeks ago. And she's like, do I have to wear green? I go, girl, you can wear any color you want. She's like, I want to be purple. Like, okay, you can be purple. So, you know, just getting to, so that now, oh, you know, I saw Christy Altomare last year, and this year I get to see Alyssa Fox, I get to see Heba, I get to see Izzy, I get to see Lissa de Guzman, I get to see, you know, we've got this beautiful roster of ladies, and my goal for them always has been is, we're not your number one job, we're your job in between your jobs. You know, we're going to be like, come play with us, because there's always shows, come play with us, you know, when you're in between your Broadway gigs, you know, and, you know, Ari just lived her dream last year as Imelda. And I'm like, okay, want to go to Korea? She's like, okay. So she's going to Korea.
I mean, you're creating a kind of a magic queendom, if you will. Like, it's an amazing that you're creating this culture of, you know, and what I love is like having, you know, on the podcast, Jodi's been on, and Christy and Courtney and you, and like, there's that kind of Broadway Disney fandom that is so loving and open, and everything you're saying, I agree with.
And I have to say too, like, you know, of course I was there when Disney was unheard of on Broadway, right? So I sort of watched that transition, and they weren't the most welcomed entity, but now it seems a foregone conclusion. Of course, Disney's on Broadway, right? Because every movie studio is now. But what I have to say about Disney is that they have given me space, and they've like, they're like, we know that you understand our brand because you've been representing it for 30 years in other ways. And we're going to give you a chance to do it in this way now. Like, the fact that they've given this old ingenue, you know, like the passport to create some stuff is pretty amazing. And what I love about Broadway right now is, like, you know, I'm a contemporary of LaShawn's, like, and the fact that we're doing similar things, and I'm like, yay for women, yay for the industries for, you know, I tried to produce when I was 27 on Broadway, and that was shut down pretty fast, right? Some mistakes on my level, but also there was no room. I had to choose whether I was going to be an actress or whether I was going to be a producer. And now that's not the case. Yeah, and it is because the industry has expanded. We've got women in different kinds of roles now. There is representation across the board. And so it's like, so when I see LaShawn standing on that red carpet as a performer, I'm like, woohoo, I'm going to go see that show. Yay. And when I see her on the red carpet as a producer, I'm like, woohoo, I'm going to go see that show. Yay. Cause she's got taste, you know? And we were led by great women. You know, think about Margot Lyon, you think about, you know, as a producer in animation, Alice Dewey was the producer of Hercules in 97, a woman. Like, that was Linda Wolverton as the writer of Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Like, there weren't many, but I got to work with them, and they were examples.
I love everything you're saying. I'm just smiling and listening and nodding my head. You speak so well about all this, and I love that. How can people find out more about the tour?
Okay. So right now the Disney website is down because of they're adjusting their website for new privacy standards. But so if you want to find out the dates for Disney Princess the concert, you can go to Broadway Princess Party, spell it all out, BroadwayPrincessParty.com, and we've got all the Disney information there. We are in 40 cities between March 5th and April 20th. All across
It's a
West
lot of
Coast, East
cities
Coast,
in that time.
Midwest. It's a lot of cities. It's a lot of miles. I'm doing the first week and then I head to Korea. We've got two shows simultaneously. I'm doing Korea and Japan. We've got a great cast here. I'm doing the first week and then Alyssa Fox comes in. She would have started the tour, but she's busy as Elphaba for one more week. And then she's going to come join our tour. And if you're in Korea or Japan, then you can see Ariel Jacobs and myself with a beautiful Brazilian actress named Laura Castro, who was the live-action voice of Ariel in the Brazilian translation. And she did our Portuguese language Brazilian production of Disney Princess the concert last year. But now she's going to do the show in English
Oh, great. Good. Good. Good.
in
Well,
Asia. So go figure.
that's perfect. One final shout out on the Park Hopper episodes. We talk about merch. I'm going to quickly share. I'm wearing a Land Boy shirt. Susan, you were from California. Do you feel like you're more Team Land or Team World?
I
It's hard to
am
choose.
land. I've got
You
to
are
be
Team
land. I
Land.
have to be loyal.
I know. I hear you. Even though I did go to Florida last month and had a good time, even though I did get food poisoning,
Stop.
but it was worth it. It was dopey dining. It was worth it. It was fine. Head to eticketpodcast.com/shop to get your Team Land or Team World shirts. Susan, thank you so much for your time. Everyone listening, please go visit
BroadwayPrincessParty.com.
to see the Disney Princess concert. It's wonderful. And we'll see you at the parks. Thanks, Susan.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.